Okay, so pre-spew today. Podcast is with Sarah Hawkshaw. Sarah is part of the women's team that qualified for the Olympics recently in hockey. It was great to have Sarah. You know, we chatted about, you know, what she's been doing in the couple of weeks that they have off before they, you know, start planning their route or their road to the Olympics. We chat about, you know, they're going to be in South Africa and Malaysia doing travel camps, you know, on the climate adjustment. We talked about, you know, her playing for her club, country, training, all that kind of stuff. It was good insight into, you know, what, you know, they do. Sarah also went to college in America. When she finished her leaving, she went to the University of Massachusetts, UMass. Straight after her leaving, she went over there and she did her degree over there. So she got back about a year ago, you know, straight back in. She's one of the newer faces into the squad this year. But yeah, was really good to chat to her. And, you know, hope you enjoy the episode. Chat to you soon. Bam, bam, bam. Is the inside trail. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Spot on, spot on. And then I'll just have a big gulp just to get me sorted on this miserable Thursday moment. Anyway, Sarah, to start, thanks a million for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
I remember the first, I'm not gonna lie, the Ireland game that you were playing in was probably the first game of hockey I've ever sat down to watch fully. So on that, congratulations.
Thank you
know,
very much.
I'm sure you're very excited as to what's going to happen over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But you're on a break at the minute. What are you doing to keep yourself busy?
Not much. We had about a 2 week break, so I'm kind of just, I went away, I went west last week, kind of just to get away from the ball, which was lovely. And it's actually hard to do nothing. You find yourself getting a bit of FOMO, fear of like going back into it.
Back.
So trying to do little bits to keep going, but we're back into it next week. And we're into heat chambers for a while because we have to acclimatise, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely. Will it be, I know with the rugby this year, they had that thing with the weather when a couple of matches were cancelled. Is the Olympics the same time as the, or is it earlier in the year?
The Olympics is July, August. So like end of July running into August, so like the temperatures is going to be the hottest ever. So I don't know, there's been a lot of talk about it because obviously there's a certain temperature, I don't know, I think it's in the 40s that it's like, right, it's actually unsafe to play. So there's been a lot of talk around it and what they're going to do, because you know, if they've only got one pitch and they've got this amount of men and women's team to play, like someone's going to have to play in that horrible weather. So there's been lots of talk, but we don't exactly know what the story is.
And then
I'm sure they'll accommodate it after the rugby. I'm sure they'll have some plan.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit of a mess up when they had to start cancelling games. But
it
wasn't really the heat, it was more the hurricanes.
Yeah. Slightly different.
It is slightly different. But it looked just as bad, as bad. So then in the new year, as you were saying, to like acclimatise and get used to that hot weather training, I assume you're not going to be training here.
No. We're in South Africa in January.
Oh, cool.
For a few weeks, that'll be kind of warm weather camp for the beginning. And then that's January. Then March, we're in Malaysia for a tournament, which there's gonna be a lot of big teams heading over for that one. And from then on we won't be going as far, but we'll be in and out of Europe trying to catch games. We're gonna be doing a lot of work in heat chambers. It's the first time we've done it, so we don't really know what to expect. Hopefully that'll work.
That's something like it's a cool bit of travel as well that you get to do as well.
Yeah, we were in Chile last January, which was brilliant. You kind of go to all these places, but you don't see them. You only see the hockey pitches, but it's still amazing to go and see it.
That was where you made your non-ranking debut, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn this kind of stuff today. So how was that? Your first, you know.
It was so exciting. I think.
Yeah.
So I was pulled in probably November. Sorry, October of last year. So kind of a year to the qualifier. And then obviously got my first cap in Chile which is an unreal place to go. Like, so some girls who have gotten them in Scotland in the lashing rain against, in a nil-all draw. But we had, like the getting out there and playing, and was insane. And it was just exciting at that time. You had no pressure. It was, like, you were just being called up. You were just kind of going out to play. And I was with other girls who kind of gone through the same process as me. So the likes of Bethany and Serena Barr, kind of, I played with them underage. Yeah. We all went to the States.
Yeah.
We all came back and we all got pulled in the same, got our first camp together. So that's, it was nice. Really nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Kind of do it with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then, so how does it work in that there's, like, you know, you have a rank, your ranking debut, or, no, I was reading something, the one you played in June, it was like that was your first ranking debut.
It's your first capped game, so a lot of the games they'll just play. So I went to Spain actually in October.
Yeah.
And went out and we played against Spain, but they just weren't officially capped, so they weren't like FIH like done by them, like, officially. So it was just organized between the two countries. Whereas that one was, you know, FIH rank or capped game, so that was my first one.
And as you had just mentioned, Jake, when you went to the States, so what was that like in going over? Like, I assume you went straight after leaving.
Yeah.
Was that a big choice to make, or what was the...
It was interesting because I hadn't planned to go at all. I was setting up to go here, organising, like, you know, the CAO or whatever, points, all that stuff. Getting ready to the leaving center. It was actually the college I went to, she'd a friend who plays in Ireland, the coach over there, and they just lost a Belgian girl. So they were looking for an international to come in and fill the place. And your one, I played against her a lot in club, just asked me, she's like, would you have any interest? And I was like, sure, yeah, let me know, I'll chat to her. Not like coming into anything. And Carla, named the coach at the time over in UMass, just emailed me everything and was like, would you be interested? And I kind of was like, I'd never been to States. I was kind of like, yeah, sure, like, why not? You're offering me all this, like, how could I turn it down? And went with it, and it was amazing. It was hard though, because I remember my parents wouldn't help me. Every time I asked them, they ignored me because they didn't want to say yes or no.
Yeah.
And then it'd be their fault that I didn't go. So just kind of, it was really last minute. I sat my SAT. It was the last one that was sitting in Dublin in May, and I was over there in August. May 3rd, I remember I sat the SATs and sat my leaving
cert. Just before you're leaving?
Just before I'm leaving. God, it was, I went in with a pencil, like, people were in there studying, like, no idea what I was doing. And I remember it was 7 hours long in this room.
7 hours?
Yeah, like, in and out, you'd go in for breaks.
Still one day, 7 hours is a lot, like.
I know. She's just like, you just have to sit them. So I did, and I sat them, and I was gone then in August and got my results over there, my leaving cert results. So I was like, please say I passed. But and loved it. It was, it was brilliant.
And what is the standard of hockey like in America? Like, is that...
It's very mixed.
Yeah.
So you'll get some much lower and you'll get some really, really, really high.
Yeah.
I was probably in a middle to top kind of school. Like, when I was over there, we would have been top 15 in the country.
Yeah.
And we went range from like 8th to 15th or 16th, like, all within the 4 years. So we were up there. We were in the tournament, the national tournament, 2 out of 4 years, and won our conference 3 out of my 4 years. So they have, like how I would explain it usually to people is like provincial, and then you go into the nationals. So we would always, I was always in the final of our provincial. It was our Atlantic A10 conference, and I won it 3 years, I think. No, 2 years. God, I've forgotten them. I won it 2 years, and we lost it 2 years. But we were high standard, but there would be a really big range.
Yeah,
like some of them were playing on like the rugby kind of turf, fake turf.
Yeah.
And when we, or like grass, was like a few of the colleges now, not many in the top division, but I remember we'd go and they just take all the internationals off because it was just a different game. It's like, take me off. But no, it was, and like, it's, you're given, I mean, whatever you want. Their professional setup is like second to none. It's class.
And then I was actually looking at the UMass website, and it just goes through all your, like, your sophomore year, your freshman year, and all the different stuff. But like, you, what's the your All-American, what's the name of it now? I'm just, you have two of them anyway, national. Yeah. How do they work, or what is the...
So they just, at the end of each season, they'll make like All-American awards. There's other ones as like Northeast Region, A10. So A10 was our conference. Okay. So they'll, you get awards, they'll, you know, award top players in the A10. A10 first or whatever. Then there's the Northeast Region, which is just Northeast. They love giving awards over there if they hand them out. It's kind of funny, but
I'm sure it's not that easy.
But the what's it called, God, I can't think of the name, the one you just said there.
All-American?
Yeah, the All-American are kind of the big ones. They're the whole country for your All-American first, second, third team. And then you end up usually playing in, if you're a senior, your last year, you come and play in this big senior game, which is when they bring all the big award, people get awarded.
It's like the All-Stars.
And they mix them. Yeah, it's like called an All-Stars game, and they bring them all in right before the final, the national final. So it is very exciting. They're good at it. They do it very well. Yeah. And they have, you mix, you're playing with all of them, and it's just this big.
Yeah.
Ends up being a bit of a mess up, but anyway, it's good fun.
I'm sure it's great fun to be involved in. So obviously hockey is your main sport now, but you had a lot of different places that you thought you might.
Yeah.
So you were football, running. What was the biggest rivalry to hockey?
Running, probably.
Yeah.
I was getting injured because I was trying to do both kind of quite seriously. I was just getting, my shins were just flaring. I was getting bad shin splints and stuff. So it was probably running. I loved the Gaelic. I actually loved Camogie, but I just didn't play it as much. Really. Yeah. I was playing more Dublin with Gaelic than I was Camogie. But yeah, it would have been athletics. I loved 800s.
Yeah.
As horrible as they are, they're my favourite thing.
Don't like run any more than like 50 metres at a time. Like.
Yeah, I just loved how tactical they were. But no, my running coach, he was brilliant. He was just like, look, like, you're not going to be able to do both. You're more likely. He actually said you're more likely to go to the Olympics for hockey than you are running.
That's pretty cool.
So I was like, fine. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I actually haven't seen him since now, but I'll have to meet up with him at some point.
Yeah. So your training regime is the next thing I wanted to ask you. So how often are you like playing hockey, and how often like is like your S&C, like what's the breakdown for like an average week?
At the moment now we're kind of a bit different, but after Christmas when we get back into our regime, it'll be, so we've three full days a week, so it'll be Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays are full 9 to 5, 9 to 6 kind of days in camp.
Take your Sunday off.
I know, but we get Saturday. It's kind of, because it gives you the option to play club on Saturday if you want to play matches. They didn't want to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because they want people to have the option to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even though you can't really, because we're gone all the time.
Yeah.
But some girls will work one or maybe 2 days a week, but not very often. So then we have, and in that we'll have gym Sundays, Tuesdays, and then Fridays we'll have gym. Friday, gym is by ourselves, and we'll have regional trainings on Fridays, Thursdays, and then sometimes we'll have an inter-squad game if we can get everyone together on a Thursday evening.
Yeah.
So you end up training, and we'll have double days, Sundays, Mondays, anyway, and maybe Tuesdays, depending, So we end up, having... It's part-time, but, like, when you add in the Thursdays and Fridays, it ends up being a bit more fun.
I'd say you're fairly run off your feet by the time your Tuesday evening comes along. Yeah. You spend your Tuesday evening with your feet up.
Yeah, our Wednesdays are a day that we're not meant to get any... Like, they were not meant to be contacted about hockey. It's meant to be our complete off day.
Yeah.
Doesn't always end up being it, but that's the idea. But we have, our blocks are worked into. We've green week, an orange week, and a red week. And red week is horrific. Red week is, he's just trying to burn us. And to be perfectly honest with you, every week seems like that. But he tries to just, we're like, it's all different shades of red.
Yeah.
But
it's Darren.
Sean Dancer. Yeah, Darren is SCL. He obviously would be involved in it. But Sean would allocate, this week is this. Yeah. And then we build, and then we go back down, so that you can build into tournaments, kind of in that way, so you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Darren is RS&C. He actually just messaged us there this morning saying we're getting our program, so it's everyone's, a bit nervous.
Yeah,
together.
He runs us off our feet as well.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
but no, he's good. They're all very supportive.
So how does it work then with you playing with your clubs? So you're Railway. Yeah. So what's the breakdown of clubs like in Dublin? Like, how is it, like a league, tournament, cup? What's the...
Yeah. So essentially they played the cup. They played all the lead up to the cup anyway already. So they, this year, to accommodate, this is all new for everyone. So it's kind of a learning process for Irish hockey, as well as like all the clubs, all the players. What they did this year, because we had this Olympic qualifier and they knew we'd all be gone, they ran the cup from the beginning of the season, so like August on, and then if you're knocked out early, it was just a longer pre-season because they had to keep going.
Yeah.
And the league, the EYHL, just started there maybe 2 weeks ago. And we essentially have the option, since we finished the qualifier, we've been given the option, if you want to play, you can play. If you want to take 3 weeks off,
yeah,
do whatever you want. And my club's been really supportive in, like, don't be... You know, however you feel, if you need a day off hockey, take Saturday, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we, like, I be training with them at the moment, but after Christmas our trainings probably won't be as often just because we'll be playing so much. Yeah. But we'll always have the Saturdays off anyway in March. Most of the Saturdays off, unless we're away, with the option of playing a match if you want to. Mm. It just depends on your club and how they support you in that sense. But mine has been brilliant.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Another thing I wanted to ask was, obviously you come from a very sporting family. Like, what would that have been one of your drives in staying in sport? Because I know, like, obviously not yourself, but a lot of girls, when they get to know teenage years, they just kind of drop off sport. But obviously that was never going to be a thing for you.
Yeah.
But you know, is coming from a very sporty family, is that part of it?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely is part of it. I'd say, I suppose sport's always been integral in our family.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been a question. I've never even had to question whether I keep going. It's more of like, right, you need to actually study is my my issue. But yeah, there's always a bit of healthy competition in the family. But you know, we're all supportive of each other. It wasn't a question, but it's always, people always ask what the reason they think is for the drop off of girls and stuff, and like, no one can really put a nail on it. I feel like it's just, you know, there isn't enough support for women's sports. It's building, but there just isn't there. Like, who, like, I know they've the whole 2020 campaign and it's brilliant and it's a start, but it's not the end all be all. Like, there's so much more that needs to be done. It needs to be brought into schools. Schools is where it starts. You go into a school now and, like, I'm coaching down in Sackville and the girls are brilliant, but like, sometimes it's such a flipped mentality of like, all right, exams come, everyone give up, go in and study. And like, I'm sure it's the same in some boys' school that they feel the same way. And that's, I think, where it needs to be changed, that it's actually, you need to get out.
It's important.
You need to do something. I couldn't do a thing if I was sitting in the house all day. I still can't. When I get like times now and I have nothing to do, I'll do less. Like, I'll spend half the day sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Whereas when I have like a structure to my day, I'll go, I'll do something, I'll get stuff done, I'll get plans done. I just think that's like become my own body's routine, that if I'm bored, I'll do nothing. Yet if I have to get stuff done, if I've only limited time to do it, I'll get more. But I think it starts all the way in schools, and switching it there and switching it with parents and teachers there to get more support, but no one really knows.
So I have a couple of like random quick fire questions for you, right? So the first one is going to be, what is the biggest now these are really random, so like answer and take a minute to think about them. So what is the biggest life lesson that you've learned so far? And just while you're thinking, I should press this button.
Okay. General life or like sports wise?
Yeah. Anything really like.
Okay. Biggest life lesson. I have learned recently, actually only noticed since finishing, that I've realised that sport is much more mental than I ever thought it was. Like, I never really struggled that much with just getting involved in a game and getting out there, yet I'll have some games where I feel really comfortable and I'm fine, and then I'll have three games of just having not been able to get into it and thinking about it, not being able to get into it, and then not being able to get into it more because I'm thinking about it. I've really noticed that the psychology in sport is much more than, like, I'm not going to say the physical output, but like, that's what I've realised.
And have you ever been to a sports psychologist or have you?
Yeah, we have one with the team, and it's brilliant, but like, it's, you know, you do a lot of work, but it's figuring out that click. Like, I'm constantly trying to think that there's a trigger to do it, but I don't know if there is, because you know, you'll have a game where you're really involved in the next game that you just can't figure it out, and that's kind of part of it. But yeah, we do work a lot with sports psychologists.
What movie or book character would you say you're most similar to?
Oh god, movie or book character, that's a hard question. I don't read a lot of books.
I assume it's going to be a movie. I'm not a big book reader myself.
I'm trying to think of any movies I've watched even recently. What movies have been out? I'm such a documentary fiend. I don't really watch movies. I live off documentaries.
What is the best documentary you've seen in the last couple of months?
Oh, I loved that one on I saw it a while ago, but the one on the Russian doping scandal,
Icarus.
Best one I've ever seen, hands down. Wouldn't relate myself to him. I just thought that was class.
Fair.
Such like a dark, like, I love the dark ones, so I can't really relate myself.
Well, we wouldn't say that you're one of them anyway. What achievement are you most proud of, but other people might consider to be a bit silly?
Oh, my friends once, they'll laugh at this. You know those giant Toblerones?
Yeah.
Like the really big ones?
Yeah.
Like, pieces are this size. years ago I was at my friend's house and they all told me that they ate the full one and timed themselves, and none of them had actually eaten it, and they made me all eat it. I definitely didn't finish it, but I mean, I was so, like, I was about this much left, and like these pieces are like this size long, and I ate so much of it. And then when I was out, I was going to get sick, and they were like, Sarah, like, none of us ate it, but I was so proud that I made it that far. But yeah, I was 5
that is
PM.
A series. They are massive.
Yeah. I actually think I finished it within the next 2 days.
You'd have to.
I know, I'd gone so far. Yeah, it wasn't a good idea, but really proud of it.
Yeah, fair. What would be your strategy for surviving an apocalyptic epidemic?
An apocalypse, I suppose. Yeah, right. It's a good one. Go somewhere cold.
Yeah.
Go to like Greenland. Feel like, I don't know, I'd be safe there. No one would go there. I'd go there, that's what I'd do.
And any like weapons of choice or what's two things you have to have with you in Greenland?
Bread and butter. That can be one thing.
Yeah, that can be one thing.
I was always
I'll also give you a knife, because that's you have to spread it with your fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got your little food palette.
My food palette, and a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I'd go with that. Because they wouldn't come in flocks on me.
I've got your movie character then. What's the one from The Hunger Games?
Oh, Katniss.
Katniss. There you go.
That's it.
Okay, if you could replace a handshake as a greeting with anything new, what would it be?
God, these are so random.
They are so random.
I would do like people do chest bumps, whatever. I'd do on your back.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just turn and
run back as you should jump and then run away.
Yeah, fair. I'll back that. There's your couple of random ones.
Okay,
done.
And
they were good. Okay, so your life hack. Have you thought about the life hack?
Oh god, no. Give me another few minutes on that. What is it again? My life.
Just like something that you feel like you could give someone else, that they'd be like, you know, I'm gonna try that. You know, like, and these range from, you know, like, someone did, you know, a ketchup bottle. If there's a perfect spot inside of a ketchup bottle, if you hit the glass bottles, that it all comes down.
Oh, wow.
Or, you know, other people do, you know, apps, a diary.
Give me a few minutes on that one.
Okay, right, I'll leave that with you. In the meantime, what I forgot to ask is, what did you study when you were in America?
I did public health science.
Public health science.
Yeah.
So what you do with that here now?
You can go into, like, it's a public health center,
yeah,
or sector, so it's all like setting up policies and stuff around the country. I really enjoyed when I was in public health science, so, like, speaking of like epidemics, like the spread of disease, like epidemiology.
You've planned that there's going to be an apocalypse.
I'm already sorted for that one. Yeah.
You had that Green Lantern way too ready.
I really like that aspect of it. I'm kind of unsure. There's never been like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm kind of quite open, but when I was in public health, I really liked that side of it.
Yeah.
Studying spread of disease, and I suppose there's so much we're going on at the moment, so it is kind of hot topic.
Yeah, I'm sure we're also going to be kept quite busy with the hockey now for the next
while.
You don't really need much else on your plate for the next while. Okay, so do you want to try your trivia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trivia. Yeah, go. I got that one. I'll forget about it if I don't say it now.
Okay, go.
Okay, I love going out on runs, and I know that sounds stupid, but I love just, if I'm ever upset, boggled, like, head's a mess, I love going out in like a really slow, like 30 minute jog. It clears my head so much, like, it's scary.
Yeah.
You come back just a new person.
And do you earphones or?
No, proper. I find sometimes if I have earphones in, I get claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So when I'm like that, if I'm just going out anyway, training, I'll put earphones in. Because God, I could use any distraction.
Yeah.
But
if you want that clear,
if I want clarity, I'm at nothing. Because just run.
Yeah, I've heard that before, and that people find that like the music distracts you more, and you don't even think about it. Whereas, as you said, if you're doing the run to clear your mind, a distraction isn't what you want.
Yeah, it's just a lot going on. If I had music, sometimes to me, like, if I'm ever, because I was on a bike yesterday, and when I finished, it was horrible. It was like this, like, workout thing that I had to do, and I had headphones in when I finished, I thought I was like, when you're so tired and you're so warm and you have this bare in your ear, I was like, geez, I need to get all this.
I just find
it so much when I'm like that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I just find that sometimes I don't have the willpower to keep running if I don't have
music. I know, but it's not like I'm running, it's like you're barely running.
Like walk fasting.
Like,
well, I guarantee your walk fasting is probably my dog, so. Okay, are you ready for the trivia? Now, like, these are hard, so, like, you know,
the
high score is 5 and the lowest is 1. So once you get 1, you're on the board, you know?
God, yeah. Right,
okay.
Go on.
Okay, so off which Australian state is the Great Barrier Reef?
Melbourne?
Queensland.
God, I shouldn't know that's a state.
Yeah, city. I think Melbourne could be in Queensland. My Australian geography isn't.
We get a half point.
Yeah, we'll see. Jack Dorsey founded which social network in March 2006?
Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, I know. Nice. See, so you're on the board. Look, after two. Like, okay. Enchiladas originated in which country?
Mexico.
Yeah. See.
God, I'm class.
Laughing. Which are the only birds known to be capable of flying backwards?
Seagulls.
A hummingbird.
It's interesting.
The two highest waterfalls in Europe are in what country?
Switzerland.
Norway.
Okay, I was thinking that.
That area. Yeah. A moat in Bailey refers to what type of structure?
Castle. I should have known that one.
Which animal is said to have the highest death rate in the world?
Flies. Fly? Yeah.
Mosquitoes.
Oh, okay, that was close.
I'll give you a 0.5 for that, right?
0.5.
Okay, they actually, like, I just learned this today. 725,000 people a year.
Yeah.
That's mad.
That's how many?
That's how many people they kill, through malaria or whatever, but, like, still.
I should have known that. I knew it was, like, something that would infect you.
Yeah. I feel like a lion is just too easy.
It's a
shark.
Like,
yeah.
God, in my head, I'd be like, sharks, I'm terrified of sharks.
Yeah. Well, have you, just side note, have you any other fears that are...
Heights. I've done a skydive.
Yeah.
Even though I'm terrified of heights.
So, for someone afraid of heights to do a skydive is...
Yeah.
That's, like... Kudos to you.
Yeah,
like,
no,
what made you do the skydive? Was it just like
peer pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% peer pressure.
On holiday with the girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
One of those ones
yeah.
Where you're not exactly sane for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Look, being there, well, not with the girls, but. What is the most flexible muscle in the human body?
Calf?
Tongue.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would it be your calf? That's stupid.
Which 5,000 meter silver medalist represented Ireland at the 2000 Olympics?
5,000 meters silver medalist represented Ireland at the what Olympics?
2000.
5,000. What's her name? Is it a woman? McGee? Kira McGee? No.
Yes,
she's too young. I can't think of her name. No, I'm...
Sonia Sullivan.
2000 Olympics?
Yeah.
I should have known that. My mum will kill me because I didn't know that. I thought she might have been before that.
Yeah. Well, sure, look, we can fact check it after, before you go home and get bet.
No, you're definitely right. My mum will just snap it out.
What is the largest city in the world in terms of population?
Oh, it has to be an Asian one. One in India. Where's my brother? My God, he's literally there right now. What's that one in?
We'll phone a friend and ask him with that.
He won't answer me. Ask him. What's that big city in India where they do their exchange to Belvedere? It's probably not even that one. Don't even know.
It's
not that one.
It's not Calcutta.
Okay, that's where he is. Anyway. All right.
Is Jimmy in Calcutta?
Daniel, my youngest.
Oh, the youngest brother. I forgot you have another brother.
Yeah, three of them. Yeah. He's over there now. Okay, it still has to be an Asian country. Is it Hong Kong?
Beijing.
Oh.
Look, you still get 3.5. Like, you know, you're...
It's not bad.
You're sitting,
five.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Well, look, I'm...
Yeah.
Like, that's us, but, like, I'm so glad that you came on today because
Thank
I feel
you.
like having watched that hockey and then you qualified, I was like, right,
yeah,
how can I get someone from the hockey team?
No, totally. It's actually funny because RTE were like, God, like the ratings for hockey are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's because you've shown three games and all three went to shootouts. They're like, the actual matches were the most boring matches.
It's probably hard as well, because like, for like, it's probably not the best way for it to be represented.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
some people think that every match now goes to shootouts.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, no, not at all.
You're going to have to set the standard now in this Olympics and make sure there's no nil-all draws.
I think we've been telling everyone as well, we're like, yeah, like, we're really beforehand, like, whenever there's been reported, it's like, yeah. Really brought this new attacking style to our game, and you know, like, we're scoring those goals, because actually in the Europeans we were scoring, we were doing really well, and then we came home and threw out 2-0 like crackers of games, I'm sure. Like, they were so boring, but whatever, we'll have to make up for it.
Can I ask, what was the do you remember when I went to the shootout, I mean, there was that thing with the buzzer?
Yeah.
What was that about?
They were testing it. They hadn't obviously tested it beforehand.
The poor girl taking the first one out. It's just standing there.
Fair play to her for scoring it, because everyone started laughing at it, because she kept on like going.
Yeah.
But you would, like, if you're there, you'd panic. But like, she scored it brilliantly.
Yeah.
And thank God Aisha got back in her game towards the last few.
Well, look, thanks for coming on today. And I suppose have a great, you know, prep for the Olympics. I'm sure, you know, you're gonna do it all and put
hopefully.
It all in. Yeah. And enjoy your travel as well. I think the travel sounds so cool.
Yeah.
South Africa, Malaysia, and
brilliant.
I'm sure you'll get another couple of spots in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
thank you.
That's us.
Thanks.
Bam bam bam.